You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Some recently released research from the National Low-Income Housing Coalition found that fair market for a two-bedroom apartment, fair market rent for a two-bedroom apartment now averages about $800 statewide. This means in order to comfortably pay rent and utilities, a person needs to make about $15 an hour here in Idaho. However, that same report shows that the average Idahoan currently earns about $12 an hour. Now, as you can imagine, many people here in our state are one crisis away from becoming homeless. So that's where organizations like the Jesse Tree come into play. The Jesse Tree is a Boise-based nonprofit that focuses on homelessness prevention services in our community. And joining me live in studio today to talk more about this is Gabe Iacoboni. He is the executive director of the Jesse Tree. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
So first off, just tell me about the Jesse Tree. A lot of people may not be aware that this organization is here.
Sure. So I'll just give you a quick bit of background. So we have actually been around since 1999. We're a 501c3 faith-based nonprofit. So we were founded actually out of Our Lady of the Rosary Church because people were coming to the church and saying they wouldn't be homeless if they had just gotten a little bit of help before they became homeless. So out of that idea, the Jesse Tree was founded, and we Since we first started running in 2001, we've helped over 8,000 people avoid homelessness.
Really? Mm-hmm. So tell me what part of your mission is in the sense of, because you give financial support, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we give financial support, which is a big part, but we also give the case management supportive services for these households as well.
So when you say case management, they work with a certified social worker. Mm-hmm. You help them find certain resources?
Yes. Yeah, so the case management process, there are two parts to it. There's case management and then what we call referrals. So we are a small organization, so we can't provide things like medical care or mental health services. So the case management for us is really focused on that financial literacy and budgeting assistance that these households who are living paycheck to paycheck, or most of them certainly don't make $15 an hour, really need that kind of budgeting assistance and knowledge that they were never given. So the case management process really focuses on that. It focuses on their rights as a tenant. A lot of them don't know their rights as a tenant. And then that supportive services component is the referral. So if we have somebody who comes in, say, who does not know of the Section 8 voucher program, we'll refer them to the Section 8 voucher program.
And how do people find out that you exist?
Sure. So we, one of the things we really pride ourselves on, and it's great, and it's a benefit of being around so long, is we are listed on a lot of organizations' mm-hmm. websites. So Our Path Home, the new Boise City's hub for homelessness services, mm-hmm. they know of us. We work closely with Health and Welfare Navigators. We work also closely with the school district, and then we also are listed in the Boise State School District, their resource manual, essentially, and the 211 Idaho Care Line.
So even though you are a faith-based nonprofit, you help the entire community.
It
is not they do not have to be a part of the faith.
No. One of the ways that we, and following our mission, one of the things we really believe is that you should not have to believe in a certain faith to get our assistance. So we are like a lot of faith-based nonprofits in that we are religiously founded out of a church, but mm-hmm. it is not in essentially our services.
So since you've been around since 2001, formed as the Jesse Tree organization, has the need gone up? And I mean, I know our population has gone up, so I want to look at it from the standpoint of, has the need gone up versus, well, of course, because our population is bigger.
The need has definitely gone up because of the population. But when you combine it with the lack of affordable housing in the community, wages not keeping up with the increase in rent and housing prices as well, the need has increased exponentially, not just in the number of individuals, but also, say, the amount of financial assistance that these individuals need. So what that means for us is we are not a organization that has an unlimited source of money. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we are really proud of, and one of the ways we have tried to to address this issue for households with children is running what we call the extended emergency rent program. And so what that is, that will provide them 3 months of assistance. But during that process, they receive more case management, more referrals. They establish goals with our social worker, and they really have more time to get back on their feet and learn things that they were never given the opportunity to learn and that are incredibly important for them to know in this kind of housing environment.
And, you know, it's interesting because when we think about the recent government shutdown and people going, you know, federal workers going without two paychecks, basically, even though they're getting paid, it's that time in between. And then even once you're getting paid, it pushes people back. Have you seen that as well?
We have. One of the things that we see a lot of is that when a household falls behind on their rent, it's not just that they fall behind on, say, 1 month's rent. Mm-hmm. Even if they're able to catch up on that first month, then the second month is coming due, say, before their next paycheck comes in. Then you also have late fees that are assessed on that rent, and we have seen some pretty atrocious late fees. And then also landlords are faster in terms of moving towards the eviction process because they know that they have other tenants who want to move in. So, yes.
And so part of this, too, I would think, as you've said, is advocating for people, because a lot of people don't know what services that they have access to.
Yes. And one of the things that I think we as humans that we make, or an assumption we make, is that if you are housed, you're financially secure or you're fine. And so that's not how it works, because a lot of households, even if they're in a rental, they're living paycheck to paycheck. And I like to use the example of 2016 when we had snowpocalypse.
You know, right.
we all kind of joke about snowpocalypse, but for the hours that households missed, say, because a restaurant was shut down, because there was no parking, or you couldn't even get out of your apartment driveway, those hours made a difference to them in terms of being able to afford their rent and avoid eviction.
I'm speaking with Gabe Iacoboni. He is the executive director of the Jesse Tree. It is a faith-based nonprofit that is helping people with housing needs. Where do you get most of your funding from? Is it private?
Most of it is private, yes. And then we do get some funding through the city of Meridian. And then one of our partners is the Idaho Housing and Finance Association.
And I know you recently lost a little bit of funding from the city of Boise, but tell me about that. And then you are working with the city to try to get some of that funding back.
Yeah, so we used to get CDBG funding, Community Development Block Grant funds, through the city of Boise. The city decided not to fund us this year, so we are going to ask them to fund us again next year. And in the meantime, we have found some new corporate and private foundation partners to help us get through it, because we know the need is growing in the community. We also know we can't just solely rely on government money, but we want to make sure that those partnerships are strong and stable.
Have you found that those people who have much are willing to give when they see firsthand something like the Jesse Tree, when they see people coming and saying, you know, we need help?
I think so, yes. I think it is a matter of making the problem visible in the community, because like I said, one of the things with prevention that makes it different than homelessness is you don't necessarily see the struggles of somebody who is worried about being evicted versus that individual on the street. But they both are living in crisis. I mean, they both are worried about shelter. They're worried about basic items that I think a lot of people take for granted.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, though. When someone is housed, I think there is an automatic assumption, as you said, that, well, they're fine. But as I said, you're potentially one crisis away. And if you work at a minimum wage job that you do not have insurance, or you do not have sick days, and let's say your child gets sick and you have to stay home with them for a couple of days, I would have to assume you see people like that, who that is the crisis.
Oh, we see those individuals all the time. And it's not that, you know, I think also other assumptions that people make is they've made bad decisions, or, you know, they've done things in their past to put them in this position. It's really not. It's just a situation where it could be anything from job loss to a delay in Social Security income coming through, and they rely on that income to be able to make their rents. And then when you combine that Combine that with, if you have children, the cost of medical care, the cost of child care, all those things add up. And it's not an individual decision that a household has made or any individual mistake that they've made. It's just a combination of factors. And it is interesting to think about how easy it can be to fall into that kind of crisis.
But even as you said, though, even if it is a person who has not made the best of decisions in their life, that shouldn't be issue for them to not be housed.
Right, exactly. So we believe that everybody should be housed, and we follow the Housing First model by HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, which really focuses on addressing the immediate crisis and making sure that they have housing, and then addressing the other issues that they need. Because if you're worried about housing, it's almost like being food insecure. You can't think of anything else.
But a lot of times you are food insecure if you're worried about housing.
Yes.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking to us more about the Jesse Tree.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. My guest today, Gabe Iacoboni. He is the executive director of the Boise-based nonprofit, the Jesse Tree. Again, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Gemma.